It's no secret that the religious world is divided. Even among those claiming the Christian religion, there is great religious division. Many believe God is behind this division. They believe denominationalism is a blessing from God, that it gives us a lot of choices to find a church that fits our own lifestyle. But the various contradictions in doctrine existing among different denominations causes confusion. And God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God's word condemns religious error, and if all the different denominations are God-designed, then in effect, religious error cannot exist, since they're all okay in everything that they believe and teach. Well, we learn what the Bible says about religious division by focusing on what it says about unity. And there are three thoughts that I want us to take home this morning regarding this idea of religious division as associated with religious unity. Number one, in the Bible, we find a strong desire for unity. Now, John chapter 17, the entire chapter is a prayer that was spoken by Jesus, and the theme of this prayer was his disciples. He was praying for his disciples. He prayed for his disciples of that day and time. And then he said in verse 20, I did not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That includes us. And then he says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and loved them as you have loved me. Now, Jesus prayed here that believers may be one. Now, this kind of oneness he prayed for is one like he and the Father have together. He prayed that they may be one as you and I, Father, are one. Four times here, Jesus prayed that they may be one. And so Jesus expresses here a strong desire for unity. Well, let me ask you a question about the type of unity that he prayed for, that we may be one as he and the Father is one. Does God the Father and God the Son hold different views on various issues, views that contradict one another? The Bible says no. God is perfectly at one with the Son and perfectly at one with the Holy Spirit. The Bible, in fact, shows us that what the Father believes, the Son believes. In John chapter 12, just a few verses back from where we were a moment ago, the Lord said, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. As I know that His command is everlasting life, therefore whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And so Jesus speaks the exact same things the Father told Him. Not different contradicting doctrines on various different issues. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. So God spoke to us through His Son. When the Son speaks, that is the words and the will of the Father. And the Bible shows us that the Father and Son believe what they believe the Holy Spirit believes. Remember when Jesus was about to leave this world, or at least He was about to be crucified on the cross, and He was given the apostles this great promise of the Holy Spirit, which He refers to as the Spirit of Truth, verse 13. And He says there, middle of verse 13, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He'll tell you things to come. He'll glorify Me. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. And so the Holy Spirit didn't speak several different contradicting doctrines that the Father believed and that the Son believed. The Holy Spirit revealed exactly what the Father and the Son wanted him to reveal. 1 Corinthians 2, 6-12, the Apostle Paul draws this picture of the Holy Spirit searching the mind of God the Father, searching those deep things, and then revealing them to the apostles. And so when we go to the Word of God and begin to think about religious division, we find in the Bible a strong desire for unity. Number two, not only do we find a strong desire for unity, but we see a solid demand for unity. A solid demand for unity. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Very popular passage. The Apostle Paul said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that brings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a simple request. This is a solid demand based on the authority of Christ Himself. What is the demand? Paul says that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16, he exhorted those brethren, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." I want to suggest to you that the Apostle Paul taught the same thing in every church he went to. He didn't go to this city and this church and preach one doctrine and then go to another church in the same city and preach another doctrine and then go to another city and preach two or three different doctrines so that everybody would have a choice and kind of get to choose what they like. It's not what Paul did. He said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul teaches the same thing in every church. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, another popular passage, Paul told Timothy, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The same things that Paul taught Timothy, Timothy was to teach to others. No variations, no differences, not many different doctrines. Matter of fact, we have several warnings throughout the Word of God regarding anyone who might teach something different than what the Apostle Paul had taught them. Romans chapter 16, beginning of verse 16. Paul says, I'm in the wrong book. Romans chapter 16, verse 16, Paul says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." And then notice verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses," watch this, "contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them." Paul didn't say it's a blessing if folks come along with a different doctrine and different teaching. That's a blessing because now we all get to kind of pick and choose which one we like best. Paul says, you note them, you avoid them if they teach something different, anything that is contrary to what I have taught you. "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ." See, division and denominationalism is not of God. They're not servants of Jesus Christ. Even though they claim to be, they are not. "But they serve their own belly by smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple." And who can forget that familiar passage in the book of Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, when Paul says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another." What's Paul mean by that? He means there's only one true gospel. These people may come along and change it and pollute it and vitiate it, but there's only one true gospel. Not many different ones that we get to choose from. He says, "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." Those who teach a different gospel, different particulars on different issues, that's not got God's blessing on it. That's not God saying, "Hey man, I want to offer y'all several different things so you can kind of pick and choose and see what you want." Paul says people who did that were those who trouble saints. They pervert the gospel of Christ. And then Paul said this, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Notice how Paul included himself in that. Paul said, even if I come to town, Paul, and I begin to preach to you something different than what I had previously preached to you, Paul said, you let me be accursed. You don't listen to me. Something's got a hold of me that shouldn't have. Because I preached the truth to you the first time, and there's only one truth, and there's only one true gospel. And so we have warnings against preaching any other gospel. We have a solid demand for unity. And we have a strong desire for unity. And we have a scriptural design for unity. Ephesians chapter 4, particularly at verse 3. But I want to begin reading verse 1. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now the key here is in verse 3. This is the scriptural design for unity. Look at it. Paul said, endeavoring to keep the unity, there's our word, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now what did the Apostle Paul mean by the unity of the Spirit? Now I understand, I'm certain we all understand what Paul meant by unity, but what about of the Spirit? Well, he's speaking there of the Holy Spirit. Now we all know that the Holy Triad, the one God made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, had their part in the grand scheme of redemption and the ultimate plan of salvation. It was God the Father who devised the plan and who sent His Son into the world through His great love, John 3:16. It was the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth in the flesh, John 1 verse 14, and lived among men, faced temptations and overcome each one, and died sinlessly on that cruel cross of Calvary for wrongs that he never done, for the salvation of man from his sins. What was the Holy Spirit's part in all this? Well, it was the Holy Spirit who told us about all this. It was the Holy Spirit who made all this known through divine revelation, special revelation. Again, John 16, verse 13, the passage we looked at a few moments ago, where the Lord promised His disciples that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He'll not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He'll speak, and He'll tell you things to come. Back in John 14, verse 26, He says the Spirit would even remind them of the things that Jesus Himself had taught them. If you couple this with the verse we referenced a few moments ago, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 6, going down, but particularly verse 10, where Paul said, but God has revealed them to us, that is the mysteries, the gospel, He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Then he revealed those truths to the apostles. And so, what did the Spirit do? The Spirit revealed the Word of God. But then Paul says that we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, ecumenism, which is just the idea of all the denominations saying, well, we're all going to the same place just by different paths. Let's hold hands and work together and lay aside our doctrinal differences and not even talk about those. Those aren't really important anyway. What's important is that we all believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's really the only really important truth. That's what they tell you. And the result is join the church of your choice. The result is the unity in diversity movement. But the unity that the Bible calls on us to have is the unity of the Spirit. What is the product of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. And that is doctrine. And so God does not want us to be unified in spite of doctrine. God wants us to be unified based upon doctrine. Based upon the Spirit, that which the Spirit has revealed. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. These people are endeavoring to throw the unity of the Spirit out the door and let's just be unified on one truth. Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, God meant for the same truth to be spread throughout the world. Mark 16, verse 15. Preach the gospel to every creature. Religious division and confusion comes when men begin to teach doctrines that contradict what the Spirit has revealed. Instead of studying and learning what God has to say, they don't study enough and they are ignorant of the Word of God, and so they twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. 2 Peter 3, 14 to 16. There is so much religious error and division because man wants to direct his own way because he don't like the way God is directing man's steps. Jeremiah said many years ago, chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jesus really gave the key to unity in John 7, 17, or the key to understanding the Word of God. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God. The problem is the Bible condemns drunkenness. The Bible condemns homosexuality. The Bible condemns the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship. But there are people out here, they want to continue to practice some of these things, but at the same time they want to be a Christian and keep their consciences clean and serve God, but they don't want to give up these things. And so when they come across passages in the Word of God that condemn these things, they begin to search and to seek. Well, it can't mean that. It has to mean something else. They can't really understand what the Word of God means because their hearts are darkened from the truth because of their own desire to do something else. But Jesus said, if you will to do His will, you'll know concerning the doctrine. If you approach the Bible with the attitude that I don't care what I read in this word, it's God's word, and if it says something or condemns something in my life, I'm going to change my life to conform to it. You approach the Word of God with that attitude, you'll understand His will. If you will to do His will, you'll know concerning the doctrine. People ask the question, can we all understand the Bible a lot? Well, if we understand it at all, we're going to understand it a lot. Because there's only one message there. Like the fellow I heard talking years ago about a sports writer, and he writes an article in the newspaper on a certain sport, piece of news of sports. He don't have 50 different messages intended in that article, one meant for you and one meant for me and one meant for somebody else. He just had one message to get across. That's what God did. God had one message to get across. And with a will to do His will, coupled with diligent Bible study, 2 Timothy 2:15, we can understand the Word of God. God has given us a plan for unity. That plan is not unity in diversity. That plan is not let's all just get along regardless of the truth. That plan is not let's compromise truth so that we can all get along. God wants us to all get along, but not at the expense of truth. God has given the plan. It's the unity of the Spirit. Unity based on what the Spirit has revealed. And if all men would read and study what the Spirit has revealed in the New Testament, if they would do so without prejudice, if they would study with an open mind, if they would study with the attitude that no matter what this Bible tells me to do, I'm going to do it regardless of the changes and sacrifices I have to make in my life. If everybody would do that, we'd all get along. Based on the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit. There would not be unity in diversity. There would be unity in the truth. There would be unity of the Spirit. That's the scriptural design for unity. That's the way God wants us to be unified. And so when you hear the more and more popular idea that it's okay to just join the church of your choice, that all the churches have a little Jesus in them, as I've been told. I want one that has all of Jesus in it, not just a little of Him. that we're all okay, we're just all going to heaven by different paths. When you hear those popular platitudes, you remember they're not coming from God. God's way is the unity in the Spirit. We see in the Scripture a strong desire not for division, but for unity. We see a solid demand for unity. And we see a scriptural design for unity. Let's pray.